As if the eye of God watching you, Brooke, already disappeared. Did you see that? Let's pray for the message. It's always good to pray for the message. That way it can be a selfish prayer and say, Lord, don't pour me to tears. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you use the words I speak today and that you would speak to all of us about our hearts and the way we see the world and how that works. And why you want to be at the center of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the second in a series of messages. We talked about the church as a Christ-centered church last week more than anything. And what it means to live with Jesus at the center of your life. And we're called to live a Christ-centered life. But what does it mean to live a Christ-centered life? We usually speak of it in contrast to self-centered life. But a self-centered person is mainly concerned with themselves, while a Christ-centered person is concerned with Jesus and the way he wants us to live. Now, it would be simple if that were all there was to it, but the truth is we can have a lot of centers at the center of our lives. We can be self-centered, Christ-centered, work-centered, money-centered, family-centered, church-centered, any number of things we can put at the center of our lives. And last week I talked about the church. Next week I'm going to talk about family and kids and spouse and stuff like that. But since I got 25 women in prison, I thought I'd save that one till next week because that's where your heart is. And so today let's look at a person who is money-centered, and that is money is the idol in their life and the God that they worship. If you would read with me Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Here we go. Then came certain of the elders of Israel to me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and set the stumbling block of their iniquity before their faces. Should I let myself be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, any man of the house of Israel who takes his idols into his heart and sets the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and yet comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him myself because of the multitude of his idols, that I may lay hold of the hearts of the house of Israel who are all estranged from me through their idols. Now, in this scripture, there are a group of church leaders that go see Ezekiel, and they come to the prophet, and they ask him for spiritual direction for their lives. Kind of like us as we come to worship in church. The prophet sees that these people come looking for spiritual guidance, but they are blinded by the idols that they have set up in their hearts. And these idols of the heart are what we're talking about really in this series. Idols of the heart are the things we put at the center of our lives instead of Jesus. The prophet wonders if he should even bother talking to them because their idols are what they really worship. They worship their families, their work, their leisure, their money, their possessions, and other things that they have at the center of their lives. And God speaks to the prophet, and he says, I'll talk to these people, and I'll talk to them through the idol which they worship. The idol that they worship instead of me, I will convict them through the thing that they put at the center of their life, and I'll call them back to me. Sometimes on Sunday morning when I speak to you, I kind of feel like the prophet Ezekiel up here. I wonder why I bother speaking the truth, because many of us are blinded by the idols that we worship that are at the center of our lives, the idols of self and money, possessions, leisure, work, children, family, spouse. Sometimes there's all kinds. I ask God, why should I bother? And in some ways, that's what's prompted this series. God told me the same thing he told Ezekiel. I'm going to talk to them through their idols, the things that they put at the center of their lives instead of me. And through these idols, they will begin to hear me and see the truth about what they really worship. So today, let's look at the idol of money. And let's listen to God's word as he speaks to us through this idol of our heart. Now, the front of your bulletin, I put it, is the Eskimo Nebula, taken from the Hubble telescope. but it kind of looks like an eye. What takes priority in the eye of the beholder? And as you see this eye, well, will you look at that, Johnny? It changes. And this kind of looks like an eye too. And you'll see that self is at the center of your life, and we'll deal with the idol of self at some point. But notice the arrow that is pointing in. Hold on, back up. Can you back up just a tad? The arrow pointing in for money. If you move it, money into the center of your life along with self, and money becomes the most important thing in your life, you're going to see life. Now you can move to the eye. Everything in life through what you see. Maybe we can move this. Now that drawing looks kind of like an eye, doesn't it? It could very easily represent an eye. Your eye, your way of looking at the world, the lens through which you view life, with money at the center. All the other things are part of your peripheral vision. Well, look at that. Would you look at that? Now, you put money and self in the center there. What you find out happens is your attitudes, your behavior, your identity, your purpose, your direction, and your balance are all determined by money. So let's look at God and let God talk to us through the idol of the heart, money. Read with me Exodus chapter 20, verses 3 to 5. Here we go. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Now, God spoke to the people of Israel through the Ten Commandments to give them the law. These Ten Commandments that we Christians defend so adamantly to be kept in our schools and maybe in front of our courthouses and part of our lives are the very laws that can condemn us. God said, you will have no other gods before me. You will not have idols on your heart that you worship instead of me. You will not have anything at the center of your life but me. The problem is that the number one idol of the heart besides self is money. Any paper bill or coin you have comes from an engraving. I have a $20 bill up here. This comes from an engraving. So it is what? A graven image. That's what it is. Jesus made it perfectly clear that there is a real war for our devotion and our love between God and mammon or money. Read with me Luke chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Here we go. No servant can serve two masters, for he either hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they scoffed at him. Mammon was the Greek god of wealth or money. So Jesus said, you can't serve God and money both. You can't serve, worship money and God. And the Pharisees, who were the church people of that day, just like us, scoffed at what Jesus said. And the reason they scoffed was because money was at the center of their lives, and they were lovers of money, and money was their center, so money was the idol on their heart. And Jesus was just echoing the Ten Commandments, and he said, you put God first in your life, and you put money in its place, along with everything else. The church people of the day scoffed. They just disregarded the words of Jesus and the commandments, and so do we. So let me ask you, is money at the center of your life? Do you worship at the shrine of the almighty dollar? Do you make your decisions based on money matters? Is your identity and self-worth determined by your net worth? Do you make your judgments on how it will affect your wallet? Are you motivated by how much money you can make in this life? You know, not Next week, I'm going to talk about family and spouse and kids and stuff like that. Those idols of the heart. They're more likely to be the idols of women than men. But today, money is more likely to get up close and personal to us men. We think about money, men. We talk about money all the time. Outside of sex, we men probably think about money more than anything else, don't we? I'm not telling you something you don't already know, guys. These girls, they don't understand that. But that's what we do, money, the God money. We talk about it. We make jokes about it that hold great truth, such as money isn't everything, but it sure keeps you in touch with your kids. Our money can't buy you love, but it puts you in a great bargaining position. Our humor reflects the way we really think. Money won't buy happiness, and it won't buy love, or and it won't buy you health. But the way I see it, if you got the money, you can at least rent the others. Or as the counterfeiter said, he says, making money isn't the problem. The problem is trying to pass it. And one story I always really liked is the story told of the Spanish as they landed in the Americas. A member of the Inca tribe was captured by the Spanish, and the Spanish captain had to get in an interpreter to speak with this Inca Indian. And the captain told the interpreter, tell this Indian, tell him if he doesn't tell me where they have hidden all of their gold, I will burn both of his feet in a fire. So the Inca responded through the interpreter. He said, I'd rather die than tell you where the gold is. So the Spanish captain burned his feet. Then he told the interpreter, tell this the Indian. If he doesn't tell us where the gold is hidden, we're going to hang him from that tree over there. And the Inca Indian responded through the interpreter. He says, I'd rather die than tell you where the gold is. So they hung the Indian from the tree till he was almost dead. And the Spanish captain had him cut down and told him through the interpreter, tell him if he doesn't tell us where the gold is, that we're going to skin him alive. And the Indian couldn't stand it any longer. He says, the gold is hidden in a little cave just behind the large waterfall, and that waterfall is about a mile from here over the hill. And the interpreter related the following to the captain. He said that he would rather die than tell you where the gold is. Money can make you a liar, and it can get you killed. Why? Because it's the number one idol of people's hearts. It's the God of this world. And a lot of us have fallen prey to it. If you look at this, I call this the wheel of fortune up here. You have money at the center. And when money becomes the center of your life, how does it affect the way you see the world? If this diagram is kind of like an eye of your life, you see everything through the lens of money. How do you see the world then? Well, how does money determine your identity or your direction in life or your purpose in life or your balancing judgment of life? If money is at the center of your life, making money, getting money is the motivation of life and doesn't allow you to do much else in terms of what is around your center. You work to make money. You treat family according to monetary priorities. You give the church a pittance. You don't take much pleasure in life except as it is related to getting money. Your friends are those who help you get money, and your enemies are those who threaten your monetary life. Now, if you look at this circle, this drawing that looks like an eye, which with money at the center, we could call that the wheel of fortune, you might say, your identity in life, your direction in life, your balance and understanding of life, your purpose in life will all be determined by the God money, the idol of your heart. And if you look at the four arrows that are going out off from them, your identity, which is also your security, is derived from anything that affects your economic foundation. You will become anxious and protective, defensive about anything that may reduce your identity, your net worth. And when your sense of personal worth comes from your net worth, you're vulnerable to anything that will affect that net worth. Money-centered people will often put aside family, kids, spouse, or other priorities, assuming everyone will understand that economic demands come first. Your identity is all wrapped up in money. You define yourself in terms of money. You get your direction and guidance in life based on what it will cost you or whether there is any profit in the action. Your direction comes from the monetary considerations. The balance in your life is tipped for or against life by dollar signs. Making money is the eye through which you understand life and judge it. Your purpose in life is restricted by what you can accomplish with your money or whether you can get more. Your vision, like an eye, your ability to see, comes in dollar signs. You know, the reason so many people get upset if a church talks about giving is not because we're asking for money. It's because we see and judge a church or a ministry with the same eyes and judgment of the world that we have, which is if I have money at the center of my life, I assume that everybody else, including churches, are just out to get the money because I'm just out to get the money. Now, I don't hear that kind of talk from people who give a lot of money to ministry or tithe. I want to hear from those who give very little. And the reason is they have money at the center of their life. They don't want to give it away. Their money gives them meaning and purpose and identity. And so that giving biblically in terms of a tithe or large amounts, people that do that don't have money at the center of their life. They push self and money out to the edges where they belong, and they move Jesus into the center. You know, and Jesus said, you can't serve God and money. You're going to end up choosing, sooner or later, your money or your life. And I expect that this message is probably stirring on some of you. And if it is, then you need to know the truth. There is an idol in your heart whose name is mammon or money. And what I'm doing up here is I am threatening it. That stirring is an idol. It's a god that rises up in wrath against that which threatens us. You know, it could be other things, but today, it's money. Know the truth. I'd like for us to read together 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, which is printed. Here we go. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of stress, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding the form of religion but denying the power of it. Avoid such people. Notice that the last times, and that's today by the way, people will be lovers of self and lovers of money. Put up the third diagram there. If Jesus is at the center of our lives and we can push the self out or money out, then things begin to change. Read with me 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced their hearts with many pains. Are you driven to make money? Does making money have a hold on you to the exclusion of everything else? Is Jesus Christ out there on the periphery of your life as you look through the eye of money? Do you gaze upon the idol of money to the exclusion of everything else? If so, you're in grave danger of ruin and destruction, for money is the root of all evils. Money at the center. Money is an idol of our hearts, and God comes against that idol, and the way that he does it is very simple. He says, You shall love the Lord, you shall have no other gods before me, including the God money. And he says throughout Scripture, you give me 10% of your money, and the reason you have to give me 10% is because I know that money will become your God unless you obey me. Now, I don't know. Do you hear God speaking to you through the idol of money? He says, you put your money on the altar to me, and let's make sure it's not the center of your life, but we are the church, and we are God's people, and we really aren't any different than the people of Israel. We act just like them. So, Christian, you who name Jesus as your Savior and say you want him to be Lord of your life, you need to hear the words that God speaks through the prophet. Remember in the Ezekiel passage, God said he would speak through their idols to call back the people who had sinned because they had put other things at the center of their lives. In the prophet Malachi, we've already read some of those words that God speaks through the idol of money. So let's read verses 7 to 10, which is not the one we use for the call to stewardship. Here we go. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how are we robbing thee in your tithes and offerings? You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Now, Jesus is the Son of God. And God has said, you can't have money at the center of your life and serve me. If you're going to be my people, then be my people and put me at the center of your life and put yourself and your money in the proper places. You give me your tithe and 10%, and it will force you to put money in its proper place. Let me tell you, if you do that, it will force you to put money in its proper place. Now, Jesus, if he is our Savior and we have received salvation through him, he calls us to make him Lord of our lives. That is, he demands to be at the center of our lives. Christ-centered living is a life with Jesus at the center. This diagram right here shows what happens to money and self as Jesus comes into the center of your life. He pushes money and self out to the edges where it needs to be. There's a powerful picture of Jesus when he comes into the center of your life. On Palm Sunday, we have a scripture that we read a lot, and I think it's in here someplace. Where are you? Yeah, Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 to 13. And we use it on Palm Sunday. Here, let's read it again. And Jesus entered the temple of God and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. Now, when Jesus triumphantly entered the center of Israel, in Jerusalem, in the temple, the very first action that he took was to overthrow money. When Jesus comes into the center of your life, he will overthrow the idol that's sitting on the idol of on the altar of your heart. And if that idol happens to be money, he will overturn it. He will literally turn the tables on your finances. He asks, he says it pretty violently, Jesus does. He says, money has no place at the center of your life when I'm at the center. Money is not what you worship. Money is what you give in worship. You know, your life, my life, it's kind of like the city of Jerusalem. That's where our lives are. And the center of our life is like a temple. And money worship has no place in the temple of your soul. That idol needs to get out of there. So let me ask you, if you say that you name Jesus as Savior and you're striving to make Him Lord of your life, do you have Him at the center of your life, or are you a money changer in your own temple? The best test of this is always in your giving. I learned this a long time ago. God calls us to tithe. He says, you give 10% of your money in order to make sure that the money changers aren't at the center of your life. Now, I learned that a long time ago. But that's something that you have to learn. But if Jesus is actually in your heart, you're going to have to deal with it. So there you have it. I expect I've overturned some money changer tables today. But let me end with a blessing and a curse. I don't think this message is mine. I happen to be the vehicle standing up here. I think that it comes from the Lord Himself, and He's speaking through the idol of money. And He calls us to put Jesus at the center of our lives. So if that's true, let me give you the prophetic judgment. If you go away from this message, a scoffer, and say in your heart, what a weariness this is, and you huff and sniff and at the Lord, you will receive the curse that is in Malachi chapter 2. And I'm not going to read it to you. You go look for it. But if you receive the message from God and you live as God commands concerning your money, you're going to receive the blessing in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 to 12, which we have read. Not one of us, not one, is really consecrated to God until our money is dedicated to the Lord. If He doesn't own your wallet, then He doesn't own you. Let's pray. Lord, we come to You, and this idol of the heart, this is just one of many possibilities, but for some of us, it is the idol. And You said You would speak through it. So I ask that You speak through it this day. In Jesus' name, amen.